It's August 15th, and this is Rabbi Manik Shior.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see everybody here. As I mentioned to you last week, there is a new topic today. A few people raised a couple of eyebrows. It is a share about facial hair, after all. Eyebrows may be a good start. But said, like, you know, what's this got to do with half the people sitting in the shir? You know, we don't shave, etc. So I think you'll find when we go through the material that it's actually fascinating. Meaning we've had shirim about all sorts of things over the last couple of years, from kohanim on aeroplanes to abortion and birth control. It's all fascinating Torah, and even if you're not a regular shaver, then I think that you'll find the shir very, very interesting. A couple of people mentioned, and I'd like to thank them very much for their good wishes. Baruch Hashem, our son got engaged this week, and there are a few people here. Donna Stanley, actually, you know the Lias family, they're from Italy, so it's very exciting. Thank you all for your good wishes. If you recall, when my daughter was getting married, we had a few shirim on wedding issues, so maybe we'll do that again. Today's shir has no connection, unless you want to make the connection with shaver brochas. Which was I'm sorry, that was too good to resist, or too bad to resist. Now, yeah, razor sharp, very good. So let's get into this topic. I actually discovered some things that I found absolutely fascinating when I was researching this. This is a shir that I started to actually prepare about 20 years ago in England, but it came to fruition more today, and it's actually two parts, because what I really want to look at is the issue of the electric shaver. And that brings in all sorts of issues of technology and science and the way Torah interacts with that over the last couple of centuries since these things have been coming onto the market. And that's what I want to continue with next week. But we need to lay some foundations. Oh, last minute, breaking news. Okay? The Shir is sponsored by Tziva and David Katz, in loving memory of Tziva's mother, Tova Feld, Tova Bat Shalom, Aleha Shalom. She should be in an Aliyah for the Neshama. And please God, we should learn some good Torah in her schus. It's okay, it's fine. A little bit of music every now and then keeps us all awake. That's fine. But again, thank you for your sponsorship. If I could ask you, remind you please to turn off the phones if you can get a chance to do that now. Now, let's get into this. We have looked in the past on issues to do with shaving during the 3 weeks or shaving during the Omer, etc. But what about the whole concept of shaving? I'm looking around the room now. There are a few people with beards, there are a few people without beards, etc. What is the deal with Jewish men and beards? Do they have to have beards? And if not, what can be used to remove the beard? What are the halachas and what is the background issue? So actually the starting point is three psukim in number one, which have six Torah mitzvahs in them. Let's look at it in context, because I think you'll understand it better if we do that. Number one, Loi tochlu al hadam. Don't eat on blood. Now, this is nothing to do with eating blood. That's a separate mitzvah in terms of kashering meat. This is much more to do, that this includes many, many different mitzvahs and is applied in different ways. But it's, let's say, to do with necromancy and some kind of black magic, some kind of occult practices. V'loi tenachashu, do not have superstitious beliefs. Nichush is different kinds of superstition. If people believe, if a black cat walks across their path, that's lucky, or it's unlucky, or underneath a ladder, or all the touch wood, and all that kind of stuff, very problematic. We had a shir on that some time ago. The light anenu, and do not believe in auspicious times, that the Friday the 13th is bad for this, or such a day is good for that. We're not allowed to do that. So that context is all to do with the occult and magic and superstition. Loita kifu paatz roshchem, do not round off the corners of your head. Everyone in this room has a head, and everyone has a corner. We'll see what that means in a minute. Do not round them off. We'll see why he uses the word takifu, as in hakafot, to go round. V'loi tashchit et pe'at zikanecha. And do not tashchit. Hashchata is a different word, which we'll see is very important. Do not destroy, which also means, here in this context, means shave off, but we'll see what specifically it means, the corners of your beard. And we'll see where they are in a minute. V'seret lanefesh lo titnu bivsarchem. Do not make scratches for the dead on your flesh. U'ketovet ka'ka lo titnu bachem. And do not put a tattoo on yourself. Ani Hashem. I am God. And again, this is all part of a context here in Parshas Kedoshim. The idea of self harm over the dead or for other things. We'll see that in a minute, how that comes into this. And making tattoos and branding oneself on the skin, somehow or other shaving the hair and shaving the beard is part of that context of mitzvot. And it's important to see that in context, otherwise you don't understand where it all fits in. Now, the number of reasons given for this mitzvah are very interesting in terms of shaving the head and shaving the beard specifically. Let's start with the Ibn Ezra, number two. V'tam, the reason he says is lahaskir lo takifu pad roshchem kamase agoyim. Because this is something that the non-Jews do. L'hiyot muvdalim mehem. And we have to be different from the non-Jews. So the first reason he says is because non-Jews walk around with all sorts of shaved haircuts. And it's very interesting, through cultures, across centuries, people do seem to like, in certain parts of the world, shaving off the hair and having mohicans and ponytails and all sorts of strange things, for us strange things. We are not allowed to do that so that we look different to them. I'm not going to say who looks normal. Do we look normal? Do they look normal? That's not the point. The point is we look different. And the Rambam makes this very clear in terms of the halachas of chukat hagoi, number three. Ein holchim b'chukat ha'avdei kochavim. We are not allowed to follow the customs of the non-Jewish world. V'loi medamim lahem. We cannot even be like them. V'loi b'malbush, within our clothing, beloy baseyar, in our hairstyles, v'kiyotze b'hem sh'ne'amah, v'loy selchu b'chukas hagoyim, v'ne'amah u'chukas eichen lo yiseleichu. These are two other mitzvahs, more general mitzvahs, not to follow the customs of the non-Jewish world. V'ne'amah, it says, yisham elecha pentin akesh achreihem, do not even investigate and connect with them. Hakol b'inyin echad hu, hu mazeh shelo yidam elahem. All this is one big idea, which is, whatever non-Jewish people are like in terms of their appearance, we have to be different. Eliyah Yisrael muvdal mehem v'yadua b'mamusho, you should be able to recognize a Jew by their clothing, ubashar masava, by their actions, kamosha who moved on him, b'mada'o ubadeotav. And of course for the Rambam it's ultimately all about how you think. The way we look is superficial, but just like Jews think differently, or are meant to think differently in how they view the world, how they think about the world, how they spend time trying to understand the world differently from other people, so too we're meant to be look different as well. And we had a whole shir, if you remember, on Thanksgiving. And we talked about Christmas and all sorts of issues. A couple of years ago in November, December, we looked at this inyan in quite a lot of depth. Now is not exactly the time. But one specific example of this he gives, V'lo yilbash v'malbush ha'miyuchad lehem, don't wear clothing that is specifically non-Jewish clothing. And we talked then about it, meaning what? Non-Jewish people wear sneakers. Does that mean we're not allowed to wear sneakers because non-Jewish people wear sneakers? Obviously not. There's certain kinds of clothing, that's not for now. V'lo yigdat tzitzit rosho k'mo tzitzit rosham. You're not allowed to grow the trestles of your hair the way that they would. Lo yigaleach min hatzadim. Do not shave off at the sides. V'anich asa b'emsa, leave a mohican in the middle, he says. K'mo she'ein osim, because that's a non-Jewish practice. V'ze nikra b'luris, this is called a b'luris. V'lo yigaleach asa mikenegid panav, and don't shave around, I think more like a monk, something like that. Mikenegid panav me'oizen la'oizen, v'anich ha'pera ma'achro, maybe shaving the sides, leaving a little bit on the top, like exactly who that's like, I'm not 100% sure. But all of these hairstyles, he says, you cannot do. K'derech she'oizen hein, because that is what they do. Now, this is... Yes, sir.
The December holiday, many Haredim dress their children in Santa Claus.
Yes, I'm not getting into that. Yes, true. I don't think a lot of people realize that actually it's a Santa Claus outfit. I heard a story once from Rav Benji Levine. I hope you won't mind if I share this publicly. Rav Benji Levine was living in America as a young boy, and his grandfather, Rav Aryeh Levine, came to visit him in America. And he gave him a little gift. He said he would come to the house, he gave him a little gift, and it was a little Santa Claus. He picked it up in the airport. Santa Claus. So Rav Benji Levine's son said to his father, Rav Ari Levine, he says, "Tata, you know what this is?" He goes, "Yeah, it's a little red Rebbe. Little red Rebbe." So meanwhile, Rav Benji is holding the little red Rebbe, and his father explains to his grandfather, "No, Tata, that's from Christmas. It's from like Santa Claus." So he took the little thing and he threw it on the Floyd, and he said, Rav Benji Levine said, he stood there, he couldn't understand. His grandfather gives him something, he takes it, throws it on the floor, like some strange minhag Yerushalmi, whatever. But so you're right, people do. I mean, you see, like, a little in sukkahs, things like little nativity scenes. People don't know what they are. Baruch Hashem, Tamimim, they don't know that. But the one thing I think everybody in this room does know, and therefore we have to avoid these kind of hairstyles. And that's chukat agoy, that's one issue. The Rambam also says very specifically there are certain idolatrous customs. I'm not saying they're avodah zorah. It's not avodah zorah itself, but there's another category of idolatrous customs that are specifically adopted by the priests of certain sects. Look at number four for a second. Ein megalachin patei arosh. You're not allowed to shave off the corners of the head. Kamosha hayo oisin ovdi kachavim. Just like those idol worshippers used to do. Shenemalo tekifu padroshchem. And then he goes on to say, derech kohanei ovdei kachavim. It is a practice of the priests of non-Jewish idolatrous practice, hayala hashchid zekanam, to be clean shaven. It's no coincidence that a galach is called a galach. A galach is called a galach because he's clean shaven, legaleach, and that's why they call that. Lefikach asrato lahashchit hazakan. Therefore, says the Rambam, this was prohibited for us because not so much that it was a specifically avodah zorah to shave off the hair. Although there is a whole other question with the Indian-made shaitels, whether shaving off the hair and giving it to the temples is a problem. Bottom line, it's not a problem, but I'm not getting into that now. Here we're talking about a practice of the priests, and we know this in the context of this whole series of mitzvahs we saw. Shaving in different ways has been a tonsures and all sorts of things has been a pagan practice way before the Christians. The Christians adopted it because they adopted what had previously been a pagan practice, and therefore monks wanted to see themselves as slaves, as sold to the church, and therefore they adopted this practice of slavery, if you like, of shaving off the hair. The Egyptians and the Romans shaved off the hair of their slaves. We'll talk about that in a second. Also, the other mitzvahs we saw, cutting. There are very many pagan cults of self-cutting. Ad hayom hazeh. There are Shia Muslims who on the day of Ashura, they cut themselves with razor blades because of the Battle of Karbala, and they commemorate this. Self-cutting is deeply ingrained, as is tattooing, in the mindset of pagan cultures. And therefore, even if we feel that this is a long time ago, actually that's not true. In Christian, in Catholic cultures, there are certain self-flagellation cults over the years, whipping themselves, etc. This is all where this is coming from. So that's reason number one. This kicks in with the facial hair as well. Go over the page. The Ibn Ezra gives a second reason. And since he says your hair and your facial hair, your beard, is a thing of beauty, depends I suppose on the style, but whatever. Why would you want to destroy that? Why would you want to cut that off? It's a tiferet, it's a beautiful thing, and therefore he says, leave the hair on your face because God gave you the hair for a reason. Rabbeinu Bachya says a very interesting thing, and he says number six, he says the pshat here is, kedei shelo yivatel hasiman, not to destroy that sign, shehakadosh baruch hu rasham b'min hazachar, on males. So that men wouldn't look like women, which is very interesting. And he wants to say that shaving off the beard confuses and blurs the lines between genders, between sexes, and therefore that's why he says this mitzvah says men should have a beard. You're doing the opposite of what God did. Just like if you're so shatner's kilaim, etc. Everything in creation has a specific min. If men have a beard, then they have a beard, and women don't have a beard. Of course, there are women who do have a beard. We'll get to that soon, but that's not for now. But of course, that does make a lot of sense, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, why women may be are excluded halachically from the prohibition of shaving off the beard, even if they did have a beard. Because according to Rabbeinu Bachya, the whole point is so that they don't look like women. Well, if women are already women, so why can't they look like women? And therefore, there will be no problem with women shaving, and he gives that as a reason. The Hemig Davar gave a fascinating reason, number seven. I'll just skip to the last line in a second. But he said because it's a sign of slavery. And that's actually very true. In pagan cultures, Romans, as I said, Egyptians, they would shave off the hair. The classic image of a slave from the ancient world in our mind, isn't it? Someone who's got no hair. It's a bald person. And therefore, since Jews are the opposite of slaves, they have to have facial hair and head hair. And he says, since Kohanim, which we'll get to Kohanim in a minute, are even more elevated, they have even more restrictions on what they can and can't shave. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then he says at the end, look at this beautiful line. This will resonate, I'm sure, with some. Bezehu Simon Avdut, on the last, the penultimate line, number 7. This, therefore, shaving of the hair is a sign of slavery. Misha Nimka Le'eved, if someone is sold to be a slave, Baalav Meisil Peotav, the master shaves off their hair, Zekano, and their beard, Sheyeh Nira Kenar, so they look like a kid, so they don't look choshev. For his era kosevli Israel, therefore the posuk is telling the Jewish people, Shelo yihiyu nimkarim leparnasa, don't be slaves to your jobs, says the Netziv. But oifen shiakifu padroshchem or yashchitu zakanam, and feel sort of pressured to shave because of work. And it's very interesting. Ad ayom hazeh, one of the main pressures on men to shave is because, how can I go to the office looking as I have a beard? The truth is, this is very dependent on styles. I remember, like 15, 20 years ago, them saying no man with a beard could ever be elected as a politician. And now every hipster has a beard. I walk around America now, like all the young guys have longer beards than me. And non-Jewish people, I'm not talking about in the Meir Yeshiva, which is another whole discussion. But I'm saying that beards now are more trendy. But says the Netziv, if you feel you have to shave in order to get on at work, that's exactly what the posuk is talking about. And lastly, on this issue, I brought you Rav Hirsch. You can read it in your own time. He has a fascinating analysis. And he basically says, I can only assume he kind of created this idea himself, that the lower half of the face does all the much more sensory and sensual things like chewing and eating. And therefore, he says, especially with men, he says, it's pasnish to have that part of the face showing. Have the top part of your head showing, because that does all the thinking, he says. But the bottom half of your face that does all the chewing, cover it with a beard. Very interesting. I mean, it's a very unusual position, exactly where you can read, he's quite strong on it. This idea that men especially are very, the words he uses here, what does he say here? It's like a very, well, this obviously is a translation, but you can read it yourself. He has a very strong position on this, and that's why he says men should not shave off the beard. Finally, just on terms of the Tamei HaMitzvahs, go over to page 3. There's a final reason which the Ibn Ezra brings, which I think actually throws up a fascinating question. The Ibn Ezra says in number 9, V'yesh Omrim ki zeh ha-pasuk Davak im veseret lenefesh. It's actually connected, like I brought you at the beginning, with the idea of cutting over the dead. It's the death cult, which was a big cult in the ancient world. And our cult is the opposite, if you like. Our halacha is the opposite. It's a life cult. Ki yesh mi sheyashchit peyat rosh, gam peyat zakan ba'avur hamit. And the Ibn Ezra wants to say that on a pshat level, really the problem of shaving is a problem of shaving in a way over the dead. Now, this brings up an interesting question, which is the whole issue of Tamei HaMitzvot. When the Rishonim, like we've seen here, the Ibn Ezra, and later the Achronim, the Netziv, the Rav Hirsch, give reasons for the mitzvot. That's fascinating. There are all sorts of reasons. You can speculate on reasons why pigs are not kosher and cows are yes kosher. And we know the Sefer HaChinuch does this all the way through the 613 mitzvahs. But does that ever carry on into the halacha? Can you turn around, and we all say, of course, no, you can't do that. You can't turn around and say, well, pigs are dirty, or were dirty, and that's why they're not kosher, and now the pigs are clean, of course, they should be kosher. Chas v'shalom, we do not do that. We have a halakhic process. The question is, do we ever do that, and how far does that go? The Ibn Ezra seemed to say that the problem with shaving, on a pshat level, is a problem of shaving over the dead. Now, the Ibn Ezra, you should just know as a general principle, is very careful not to cross the line between going against Chazal on more drash issues, which he's happy to do, but on halachic issues, he won't cross that line. And he's in Kabbalah hu nekabel, you know? He doesn't like overstepping the mark when it comes to the halacha. The Rashbam is much less concerned about that. But here the Ibn Ezra raises the question, maybe it's to do with the dead. And I brought you a perush from the Shaddal. I haven't brought the Shaddal before in this shir. Rav Shmuel David Lutzato was an interesting individual, major commentator on Chumash in the mid 19th century in Padua. He was the president, the head of the Padua Rabbinical College, and he writes very interestingly number 10 as follows: Lotekivu Padroshchem, the Samuch Lo V'Seder LeNefesh, and it's linked with the idea of cutting for the dead. Hashchatat Hapeyat Hapeya, shaving off the peyot, Nizkeret Etzel Iso Hasrita Lameit, is mentioned specifically when it comes to cutting for the dead. V'Chein B'Kohanim, and this is the truth also with Kohanim, Lo Yikruhu Karcha Barosham, their Kohanim are not allowed to pull hair out of their head. U'Pezikanam Lo Galechu B'Saram Lo Yisuf Tzaretet. So we see always that shaving is connected with cutting for the dead. Hakol Alameit, he says, it's all to do with the dead. V'Hine Lefi Apshat. According to the Pshat, not the Halacha, according to the Pshat, this applies to everybody, men, women, etc., and it's only applicable on the dead. If a person was to shave with a razor, a man was to shave with a razor, says the Shadal, according to the Pshat, generally that would not be a problem. And for Kohanim, there's even more restrictions, even for them, even more so for Avelut as well. Okay, so the Shadal wanted to say on a pshat level, there shouldn't be a problem shaving with a razor unless it's over the dead. Did he ever go further and say, you know something, I'm actually going to do that? And fascinatingly, he did. And this raises the question, if anyone knows anything about Shadalas, where was he exactly on the line between what we would today call orthodox thinkers and what we today would call conservative thinkers? And it's a blur. In the mid-1800s, it was a blurred line. But I want you to see what he writes in number 11, and then we can get into the halacha. And even though I'm not a big fan of the Ibn Ezra, he says, he didn't like the Ibn Ezra. He felt that he was too cold in some ways. Kfar kibalti perushon neged halacha. He writes this in a private letter. I've accepted his understanding, his perush here, against the halacha. The pasuk lo takifu pad roshchem, the lo tashchit et pad zekanacha. She'enu el alameit. And I want to say it's only on the dead. V'kibalti l'atzmi l'maisa. And I actually decided to shave with a razor lemaisa myself. Afal pi she'ein ani mori ken achein, but I would never tell anyone else to do that. Ki ein li esek b'hora'ah, because I don't get into paskening halachas. But I brought you two pictures of the Shadal here, a younger drawing and an older photograph, and you can see he sports a very nice, clean-shaven face. But what's very interesting there is it shows you that sort of blurred line that existed then. Today this would be, and it clearly is, completely against the halacha. It's from totally osa on a doraisa level to shave with a razor. But the Shadal wanted to say that maybe not, etc. And I think this would seem to push him in the camp of the more conservative thinkers in the historical school, etc. then. And of course, the Italian Padua Rabbinical College, together with the Breslau Theological Seminary, were the precursors of what is now JTS in America, Jewish Theological Seminary. But even that was not clear at the beginning exactly where that was. Now it's very clear where JTS is in terms of other things, because of course the first ever graduate of the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York was Rav Joseph Hertz. Rav Hertz, who became the chief rabbi of the British Empire, as it was then. When I first had an American chavrusa, and he said, let's look up the posik, I pulled off a Hertz chumash, which I grew up with in my community. The Hertz chumash was the chumash. And he told me in no uncertain terms, he was a YU guy, this is a conservative chumash. I said, excuse me, this is Rabbeinu Rav Joseph Hertz, the chief rabbi of the British. I got very British at the point there, and defensive about it. But you see that there is that, I don't think anyone who knows Rav Hertz would call him anything other than an orthodox thinker, but Shadal is definitely on that very grey line, and he brings that in here on the issue of shaving. Enough of the pshat. On a halachic level, things are very clear. Let's go to number 12, because the Mishnah identifies clearly what the halacha is. Let's look at number 12 together. Hakorea karcha barosho, says the Mishnah, somebody who makes bald patches in their head. That's men or women. Va'amakiv peyot rosho, someone who rounds off the corners of their head. Va'amashchit pet zekano, and anyone who destroys the corners of their beard. Va'asorit srita achal al hameis, and anyone who cuts themselves on the dead. He, again, the Mishnah links all these mitzvahs because they're all in the pasuk together. Chayav, that is a Torah prohibition. They get malkut. Al rosh shtayim, there are two corners on the head. Achat mikan, the achat mikan, one here and one there. Not very helpful. Where's here and where's there? That's not the real subject of the shir, but we'll touch on that in a minute. The alazakan, on the beard, shtayim mikan. Two over there, v'shtayim mikan, and two over the other side, v'achat milamata, and one underneath. Five. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer omer, im milkat kula ka'achat, eino chai v'la'achat. We don't pass him like that. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you shave the whole head or beard together, that's one aveira. We actually hold no. The Tanakama holds, and that's how we pass him. It's one issa for every single corner that you shave. If you shave your beard with a razor, that would be five isurei deoraita if you shave the whole thing off. The ein chayav ad sheyitlenu b'ta'ar, and we'll see this in a minute, very important. And it's only prohibited, says the Mishnah, if you use a ta'ar, a razor blade. And we'll see why. What's the deal with a razor blade? What if you use depilatory cream? What if you use a shaver? We'll see. Rabbi Eliezer Oymar, no, afilu lakto b'malaket, even if you use tweezers. Or berehitni. Rehitni, Rashi explains, is a plane. He uses the word plane, which is some kind of a wooden, I wouldn't recommend this, but so if you take a plane that you would sand down or plane down wood, and you rub it up and down your face, says Rabbi Eliezer, that is also part of the prohibition, but the Tanakhama says, no, it's not. And this is very important. Tweezers, according to the Tanakhama, is not a problem. If you rub your face with a plane, it's not a problem. Only if it's with a razor blade. And we'll see if that's exclusively a razor blade or if that's just a general idea. Go over the page and you'll see some faces, some more familiar and some less. Let's get to the bottom when we get to the bottom. For starters, let's look at the Peyot HaRosh. The Peyot HaRosh, look at Rashi briefly because I don't want to focus too much on the Peyot HaRosh. Says the Rashi number 13, Al Hakafat HaRosh Chayv Shtei Malkiot. You're Chayv twice if you were to round off the hair of the head. D'shtayim Peyot Yesh LaRosh, there are two Peyot, there are two corners of the head. And now he explains where they are because the Mishnah just said one here and one there. Sheharosh k'shtei chatichot. First of all, he says you have to know your head basically comes in two parts. Okay, makom ha-se'ar, the bit with the hair on it, which in my case used to have hair on it, but okay. Chaticha achatz, that is one part. U'makom ha-panim, and the place with the face, the hazakan and the beard, chaticha achat is one separate part. U'mitchabrot zo im zo, but they are connected together. But sat ha'ozen, by the side of the ear, milafanav at the front. Mokam sheloazin, in the place that we call in French, temple, the temple. Okay. Temple, called the temple, I understand, because it's the place that most people first go grey, and tempus fugit, and it's from temple, from time. They go, I don't know if that's true, but that's what they told me once when I was at school. It's probably nonsense, but whatever. The sham nikra peyash, that's called one of the peyash, shisham sofarosh, that's the end of the head. And again, he says the top part of your head and the bottom part are two separate things, and they're joined at this, and I even brought you a little, a skeletal jaw and a gentleman there sporting a nice beard and it seems an earring as well, but that's a separate issue. He says clearly that is where your payot are. Makom chibur haprakim, where the jaw bones meet. V'nimsa sheyesh l'shtei payot, and therefore you have two. Tzedimikam, one on the left, one on the right, b'chayv al Einstein. Fine. The Shulchan Aruch, even though I'm not getting into a shiur today on the payot harosh, I want to focus on the beard. The Shulchan Aruch says in number 14, Einu chayv ele betar. Even on the head, he said, it's only prohibited with a razor. V'yesh oisim mispareim ke'ein tar, but there are those that say even scissors or clippers, which act like a razor, it's prohibited on the head. V'yesh lechush l'divrayim, and we have to be careful for that, and that is exactly, indeed, the halacha. Even though there are rishonim that want to say that only a razor is prohibited on the head, we don't paskin like that. The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins that anything which destroys the hair, whether scissors or clippers or anything on the sides of the head would be prohibited. Where exactly is the corner of the head? You see all sorts of interesting guys with different sized sideburns, meaning there is a join here on the side of the head where the jawbone, the upper jawbone and the lower jawbone meet. But the question here is how far down it goes. He seems to be quite machmir, the Shulchan Aruch, in Tetz in 14. Seah ha-pe'ah, mikeneged seah sha'al pedachto, it's opposite the temple. The adlamata min ozin, to the bottom of the ear. Now you know why all those Gushnikim walk around like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, with a long payas down to there. Yeah, the YU type payas. Says that goes all the way down to the ear. Makam shehalecha tachton yotze umit pared, where the bottom jaw begins to jut out. Sham bekala rochev, all the width of that area. Makom ze loti gaboyad, don't touch it. Don't start shaving. And I'm not getting into this now. And how long does it have to be when you go to the barber? Is it number one, and number two, and number three, and number four? If you're not into that, then you won't know what I'm talking about. But it's good to know about these things. I'm not getting into that now, but it's an interesting question. I want to focus on the beard, because that's really our subject. Says number 15, the Mishnah says, where does your beard start and where does your beard end? Harosh v'hazakan, this is talking about nega'im. This is another reason why I love this topic, because it brings in these areas of halacha. When did you last talk about saras in a practical shir? And probably not for a while. It says the psukim, if you have certain saras, whatever saras is on the skin, and it spreads, so that's a sign that you have to be put into quarantine, etc., and that it's actually tamei. It says, v'harosh v'hazakan ein mitstarfim ze im ze. The first thing the Mishnah says is, if you have a half a gris of nega'im on the top and a half a gris on the bottom, they don't join together. Two different parts of the head, don't worry, that's okay and that's okay. The ein posim zemizah, and if it spreads, it doesn't count if it spreads from one to the other. The head is one thing, the beard is another thing. And here's why I'm interested in this particular source. Eizah hu zakan, so where is your beard? Min haperek shel alechi, from the jaw perek, from the jaw joints. At pika shel gargeret, where is the pika shel gargeret? A pika is a protrusion, is like a swelling. It's the word, I looked this up, I didn't know this, it's the word in modern Hebrew for a bunion, in case you ever needed that word. A pika, okay? Don't tell me you never learned anything useful in this shir. So a pika shel gargeret is the Adam's apple, that has a more technical name, but basically it says that this is where the beard ends. That's interesting, because if you're thinking of shaving with a razor, can you do underneath, or can you not? Here it seems to say potentially all the way down to the Adam's apple. And therefore I enlisted Jeremy Corbyn to be our star for the day, because I thought that there's very little he would like more than to be an opportunity to learn Torah and to put some small Magen Dovids on his face. I hope there's nothing treasonous about that. No Corbonis anymore, no Corbyn, our very good. So, without getting into all of the specific sources, can I just point out to you that there are at least five different opinions as to where these five corners of the beard are. Have a look with me, please, here at the bottom of page 4. First of all, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, which is quoted in the Rosh, they basically are the two sides of the head, but most people say that's the two corners of the lips, and then in the middle of the chin, or maybe the Adam's apple. Okay? So that's one approach. If you flip over to page 5, apologize if you don't like the face, but we have a number of other examples here. The Rashi, the position of Rashi as quoted by the Rosh, is actually a bit different. Again, the two corners of the sides of the head by the ears, but then three corners on the bottom of the chin. Okay? Not by the lips. The Rashi's position in Shavuos is again a little bit different. It's the sides of the head, a little bit down from there, and then the corner of the middle of the beard. The Rambam has another position, which is the ears, the bottom of the jaw, and then the middle of the chin. And then the Rivan is again different. He doesn't have the ears, he just has 5 points along the bottom of the chin. So all of these are different opinions as to where exactly the Pe'ot HaZakan are. Now, the Rosh comes along, therefore, and says in number 20 on page 6, the Yorei Shamayim Yatsi Dekula. And therefore, if you do want to be careful about this, which he recommends, you have to be worried about all of these corners of the beard. The Lo Yavir Ta'ar Al Kol Zikano. Therefore, don't put a razor anywhere on your lower face. Because one way or the other, you're going to end up inadvertently crossing one of these spots. Would you mind shutting the door, please? Thank you very much. Don't put a razor anywhere on your face. The loika oisan, and not like those people, haminichim chut b'chol shehu al hapeot. Apparently there was a beard style, and there are reports of people who tried to kind of work around with their razor these 5 peot harosh, and they had little, if you ever bump into somebody who has 5 tiny little bits of hair sticking out of an otherwise shaven Beis, he says that's because they're trying to avoid the Peot Hazakan. He says, don't try that. They don't know what they're doing, and they're going to go over, certainly according to one opinion, they're going to end up doing that. And in fact, the Rambam says the same thing. The Rambam points out, number 21, Hasafas, in the middle of Safar, Mutter Legalcha. Actually, you can, everyone, there was no opinion that said that the moustache was one of the corners of the beard. So in theory, he says, everybody agrees you could razor off your moustache. Okay, that is over the svatayim. Okay, haliona. V'chein aseh hamadul dal min asavah tachtona, and also the hair that kind of comes down from the lower lip. Everyone agreed that that was not one of these corners. The afal pi shehu mutar, even though I can't tell you that it's prohibited to razor that part of your face. Loi nagu Yisrael hashkito. The minhag of the Jewish people is not to destroy that. El yigalech k'tato ad shelo yakev achilashda. Just to cut the beard, moustache a bit, so it doesn't get involved in the way of your eating. So he says everyone agrees here. The minhag Yisrael is not to use a razor anywhere on the face. And the Shulchan Aruch passes that peyot hazakan heim hei. Shulchan Aruch says in number 22 there are five corners of the beard, v'rabu behem hadeot, and there's loads of opinions. He doesn't even get into it. There's so many opinions, he says, on this. V'fikach yoresh shemayim yatzayit kulam, someone who is careful should observe them all. V'lo yaveh ta'ar hakol zekanot klal, don't put a razor anywhere in your face. Afilu tachat hagaron, even under the throat, because as you remember, we saw that there was at least one opinion that the pikach shel gargaret was down there under the Adam's apple. Fine. And I think if you ask observant Jewish men, they will tell you that men do not use razors anywhere in their face, whether it's a blade, whether it's a safety razor. We'll see next week how that was invented and how that was received. They use either electric shavers, which we'll get to in a minute, or they use, back in the day they used to use cream, you know, and which is not a straightforward thing. All the Jewish shops would be selling svarim and depilatory cream, etc. But we'll see soon that's not so straightforward either. Now, for all of you people here in listening who do not have beards and do not intend to have them, either because you're women, which we'll get to right now, or because you're men, we'll see that there is no halacha that one's required to have a beard. We'll get to that clearly, so no one should feel that's where it's going. But what's this got to do with women? Why do women not have this mitzvah? If you are a woman and you want to shave off the entirety of your head and be completely bald, and as we know, there is a small group within the Hasidic world that indeed do this. Yeah, Hungarians, some Galicianas, Ukrainians, etc. They shave off the whole of their head, very few people. They can only do this because they're exempt from this mitzvah. Otherwise it will be an Issa D'Oraita. So let's have a look here in the Gemara number 23. Chutz mi'batach v'batashas. So the Mishnah says clearly women are not in Kiddushin, women are not obligated in this mitzvah. Bishlam abalti tamei lemesim, I understand why women are not obligated in the prohibition of going onto a cemetery. If they're a Kohen, if a woman is an Eshet Kohen or a Bat Kohen, she's allowed to go onto a cemetery. The males are not allowed to go onto a cemetery. Why? Dichsiv emor el kohenim b'nei Aharon. Because it says in the Pasuk, say to the b'nei Aharon. B'nei Aharon, v'lo b'not Aharon. B'nei Aharon, v'lo b'not Aharon. Ella baltakiv baltashkis milanim. But why on earth would I exclude women from this mitzvah of shaving their head? Women have heads, women have hair. Why should they not be included? Don't forget, women are always obligated in all negative mitzvahs. This is very unusual. This is not a positive time-bound mitzvah in some way. It is a negative mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, Dichsiv, lo tekifu pad roshchem, v'lo tashchit pad zekanecha. Don't shave off the head, don't shave off the beard. Kol sheyeshna b'hashchata, yeshna b'hakafa. Anyone who is not included in the mitzvah of the beard, is not included in the mitzvah of the head. V'haninoshi, and women, hoyl v'loy itnehu b'hashchata, since they're not included in the mitzvah of shaving the beard, leisnu b'hakafa, then they're not included in the head either, meaning it's a package deal. The head and the beard come together. If you're not in this, you're not in that. If you are in this, you are in that. Since women are not obligated in the midst of shaving the beard, they're not obligated in the midst of shaving the head. They can shave off the whole of their head. They're recommended, but you can do that. So why are men, women not obligated in shaving the beard? We've just kicked the can down the road. So the Gemara says, Uminalan de la isnu bahashchata. How do I know that women are not included in the prohibition of shaving the beard? Now, as you well know, there are a small proportion of women, even young women, who grow beards. It's due to a hormonal imbalance. And it happens. Not a lot, but it happens. A woman could have a full beard if she wished to in some cases. How do I know that that woman is allowed to shave off that beard with a razor? And since this is a natural occurring event, the Gemara discusses it. Just like, by the way, the Gemara also discusses what if a man produces breast milk That's also a naturally occurring thing. It can happen. It's not a miracle. It's also due to certain hormonal imbalances. There has to be a discussion. What is the status of that milk? The Gemara has to deal with everything. So how do I know that a woman with a beard is not, it is, yes, allowed to shave it off with a razor? So the Gemara gives three reasons. Ibois ema svara. If you want to say, you can say it's a svara. It's logical. Why? Most women don't have beards. So if most women don't have beards, beards is a man thing, not a woman thing. If you happen to be a woman who is fortunate or unfortunate, depending on the perspective of this halacha, to have a beard, then you're not included. The boy say makron. Other people say it's a posik. The amakra, the posik says, loy takivu pas rochchem, don't shave off the corner of your heads, plural. Now that's not talking about people with two heads. Although that's true, there are people with two heads as well. That's not the shir for today, but it's talking in plural to the people. V'lo tashchit et pet zikanecha. And it goes into the singular. An interesting change in the posik. Midashani krab adibure. Since the posik changes from plural to singular, in kein nichtav rachmana pat zikanchem, they could have said zikanchem, my zikanecha, zikanecha v'lo zikanishtecha. Your beard and not your wife's beard. Okay? And finally, the Gemara brings a connection with the Kohanim and says there's a connection with the Kohanim, just like the women Kohanim are not obligated in the midst of going onto the graveyard, so too they're not obligated this. One way or the other, there's no prohibition of women shaving off the beard, and that's brought down in Halacha, the Rambam in 24, Shulchan Aruch in 25, look in 25, Isha eina b'mitzvat hakafa. Everybody agrees that a woman is not included, not just in the facial hair, but in shaving off the head hair. The yesh oimrim, but there is a view, she'af al pisha muterit lahakif peyat rosh sha. She can shave off her own hair, as surah lahakif peyat rosh ha'ish. She can't shave off a man's hair. She wants to be a barber, whatever the female equivalent of a barber is. Barbara, I'm not sure, whatever. Va'afilu katan, even if it's a child, she cannot shave a man's head. Why? Why can't a woman shave a man's head? What's her problem? She's not included in the mitzvah. Now this mitzvah, interestingly, is a mitzvah on both the shaver. Let's say a man wants to shave another man. Okay? It's a shaver and shavee mitzvah. The shaver and the shaved. And if you shave your own hair, let's say a man takes a razor and shaves his whole hair off, he's doing two prohibitions. The shaver and the shavee. So, presumably, if a woman shaves off a man's hair, he's sitting in a barber's chair, she shaves off his whole head, so she is doing which prohibition? She's not prohibited because of the shaving, she's not included in that mitzvah. She's a woman, she's excluded from that mitzvah. But she is causing him to be shaved. So that's lifnei iver. Yes?
But if he's not the one who told her to shave him, he's just sitting there.
So he's helping her. He's holding his head. That's misayeha. He's holding his head there. He's helping her out. That's a certain liability as well. But comes along, and this is a source that I brought you before, and I couldn't resist bringing it again, because it's fascinating. Go over to the top of page 26, page 7, please. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger. It says, just wait 1 minute. You're telling me that a woman can't shave a man's head because of lifnei iver. What's lifnei iver? Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Not only is a person not allowed to do an aveira, they cannot cause someone else or assist them in doing an aveira. It's okay, she's helping him to do an aveira by having his head shaved. Says, not so fast. Look in number 26. Ulai yesh loima. You could argue, he says, Rabbi Akiva Eger, de bezel leke isem idin mitzvat lahafrisha. There's no prohibition. She doesn't have to stop him from having his head shaved. Why not? He's not allowed to do. Why doesn't she have to stop him? The Adarabba, on the contrary, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, but ma shehi megalechet oto, by shaving him, bezen mafrishato, she's actually helping him by shaving him. How's she helping him by shaving him? The im loy haita megalechet oto, because if she didn't shave him, haya megalech ba'atzmo, megalech ba'atzmo, he'd shave himself. And then how many averes would he be doing?
Two.
V'haya oiva bebeit lavim, de nekafu b'makif. He'd be being the shaved and the shaven. And by her shaving him, mafrishaso, that separates him milav de makif. Very clever. And it's not just clever, but it's actually very important. Because if I extend an invitation on Shabbos for someone to come to my outreach Kiruv seminar, and they're going to drive to shul on Shabbos to get there, am I in any way liable for having caused this person to do an aveira? You could say, well, of course, the person is driven to your shir. Driving is a very serious breach, chilul Shabbos, on a Torah level, many different ways. Every time you put your foot on the gas, put your foot on the brake, you're breaking Shabbos. You made that happen. Or could you say, well, 1 second, by taking him in the car away from the supermarket and from the theater, from the cinema, and bringing him to a Shabbaton on Shabbos morning, am I actually helping him or am I actually harming him? I'm helping him because I'm actually getting him connected with mitzvot. So could you argue like Rabbi Kiva Ege? He said, Ulai, that actually if the net gain is better than what would have been had you not got involved, maybe you could say, very interesting, you can already see how this principle could be applied in so many different ways. What people start talking about, heta kirov. Oh, it's kirov, you can do anything, you know, for kirov. That's, of course, not true at all. There's no such thing as heta kirov. You can go, you know, dancing in nightclubs on Friday nights to be makariv people. No, you can't do that. But there are certain areas in kirov rechaikim where these principles will come in. So I couldn't resist bringing you that because I thought that it's definitely very, very interesting. Let's just... in the last 15 minutes, get into the issue which is going to take us forward to the real electric shaver question. So, fine. Now we know that women are excluded from the prohibition. If you wish to shave your head, bevakasha. We know that men are prohibited. What kind of shaving is prohibited? So, look at again, the Torah used the expression loy tashchit. Hashchata. What is hashchata? It's destruction. It's a very strong word to use about taking the hair off your face. Don't destroy your beard. In the pasuk regarding Kohanim, it doesn't use that word. Look at number 27. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Emor el Kohanim, this beginning of Parshas Emor, Bnei Aaron, Va'amarta aleihem, Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav, don't make yourself tamil ameis, V'lo yikrakuch karcha barosham, the same constellation of mitzvahs for the Kohanim, do not make yourself bald, Upat zikanam lo yigalechu, and don't shave off. Here it doesn't say yashchitu, it says yigalechu, don't shave the beard, Ubivsaram li lo yisratu saratet, and don't make scratches. Like we said, they come together as a team, these mitzvot. So in the case of the Kohen, it didn't use the word hashchata, it uses the word giluach. How does that work? So the Gemara says in 28, and this is probably the most important Gemara as preparation for next time. Look at 28. Einu chayev ad sheyitlenu batar. Said the Mishnah, you have to use a razor blade to do this aveira. Tan Rabbanan, why? Pa'atzikanan lo yigalechu. It says with the Kohanim, do not shave. Yochal afila gilchu b'misparayim. What if they shave with scissors? Okay? Yehei chayev. Is that the prohibition of shaving off the beard? Talmud Loma, the Torah says, no, lot hashchit. It has to be a hashchata. And by scissors do not destroy the hair. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why don't scissors destroy the hair? What does a razor blade do that scissors doesn't do? It's closer. A closer shave. How close can you get with scissors? Not very close. You get designer stubble with scissors. Okay. Oh, you want to say that roots the hair, which is different from closer. It actually not just gets closer, but it pulls, the shaver pulls the hair out, a razor pulls the hair out, which scissors clearly don't. They just snip the hair wherever it is. Maybe, we'll see. Ilo tashchitz, okay? So if it says, do not destroy, yachal im laktu b'malakid rehitni, so why isn't it prohibited to pluck them out with a tweezers? We said that wasn't part of the prohibition. That destroys the hair. It completely removes the hair. Why is that not prohibited? Not prohibited. Talmud Loma. No, because it says lo yigalechu. It says you're not allowed to shave. Hakeit says, so how does that work? What you have to have in order to do this prohibition, says the Gemara, giluach sheyesh bo hashchata. You have to have two things. It has to be shaving, and it has to be destroying. Have oimer ze. Tar, and that is a razor. A razor does both. It destroys the hair, whatever we're going to define that as, and it also is what we call shaving. Now, there are two important ways of understanding that Gemara. Is that Gemara saying that a razor and only a razor is prohibited? That's it. You can use anything else. You can invent whatever machines you like. If it's not a razor blade, it's mutter, it's fine. Or is it saying no? A razor achieves a certain end. And anything else that achieves that end will also be prohibited just like a razor. You can see how those two ways of looking at it are going to be very different. And are we looking at process? Are we looking at what a razor does? Meaning a razor cuts like this. Scissors cut like that. Are we going to say anything that cuts like scissors? Fine, that's not a razor blade. There's no problem. Or are we going to say anything that cuts as well as a razor blade? It's not just a process. We'll see that's become a very major debate. Have a look a little bit here at the Rishonim before we bring things to an end for today. Look at number 29. The Rambam says, Einu chayev ad shigalchenu batar. It has to be a razor to do the prohibition. Shneimar lo tashchit et pad zekanech gilur sheyesh bo hashchata. He understands the Gemara very clearly in a lenient way. He says the only thing that's prohibited is a razor. Lefikach im gileach zekano b'misparayim patur. Patur here means, says the Beit Yosef, it's mutar, it's fine. Scissors is fine. A razor is a razor and only a razor. However, the Rivan, look at the Rivan in number 30, says no. Misparayim eno mashchitim. Scissors do not destroy the hair. Why? She'ein chotchim se'a betzad ikar. They don't get to the roots of the hair. He seems to be saying it's not just about some magic with a blade. Scissors don't get in far enough. Qatar. And giluch sheyesh bo hashchata, what does it mean, shaving which is destroying? Derech legaleach bo, something that people normally shave with. Umashchit, haynutar, that's a razor blade. Aval rehitni, but the tweezers and the plane, mashchit, that does destroy the hair. The ein derech legaleach lo. Bo. Why is it not prohibited to shave with tweezers? Because normal people don't shave with tweezers. That's why. And therefore that's not called giluach. That's not called shaving. The Rivan's understanding is that if you manage to do something that normal people call shaving, and that's how regular people now shave, then you're in trouble if that destroys the hair. You can see how already electric shavers are going to be a problem if we define the issue as not just a razor blade, but anything that people normally shave with, which destroys the hair. The Shulchan Aruch apparently takes a very lenient approach. Look at number 32. The Shulchan Aruch rules, Einu chayev al hashchatat peyat hazakam ela batar. Follows the Rambam, not surprisingly. The only prohibition on shaving is to shave with a razor blade. Avaba misparayim, with scissors, mutar, fine, but not only with scissors. Afilu ke'ein ta'ar. Now, we haven't seen this expression before. What does it mean, ke'ein ta'ar? Even if the scissors are like a razor blade, we'll have to define that. If they're not actually a razor blade, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It sounds like you can have a close shave, which is a very close shave. I'm beginning to sound like a Gillette advert, whatever. But a closer shave than the Shulchan Aruch, whatever. It sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that as long as you're not using an actual razor, even if it's Ke'ein Ta'ar, then it's fine. But we'll see, not everybody agreed with that, and there's a very famous Chasam Sofer that basically deconstructs the Shulchan Aruch and is not happy at all. So, what were people's choices? So up until modern times, and next time we'll get into the actual invention of that machine, and we can talk about, again, it's a paradigm for how scientific issues come into halacha. There are two very fascinating articles in Tzomet. Tzomet is a journal, not just a journal, it's a whole book that comes out every year by the Tzomet Institute in Alon Shvut. And they were two famous articles, one by Rav Shabtai Rappaport, who is the grandson of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was well known for having a very lenient approach towards shavers, electric shavers. In fact, it's even though he never wrote a clear tshuva that dealt with shavers, and this question is, why did he not address it in a tshuva? So some people want to say that because even though he held it was mutter, he felt that people should have beards, and he didn't want to encourage them to shave them off. And whether that's true or not is a different question. But Rav Moshe was very well known for being lenient, to the point that almost everybody who wanted to get a haskama for a book from Rav Moshe would write him a haskama. He would write in the book, I mean, he didn't necessarily read the book, he would write, you know, this is a very fine man and we wish him Hatzlacha Rabba with his publications, etc. If anyone went to Rav Moshe Feinstein asking for a haskama for a book that was prohibitive and machmir, stringent on shaving, he wouldn't give it. I'm not interested in answering electric shavers. We'll see the why he came to that conclusion. So Rav Shabtai Rappaport brings a relatively lenient article in Tchumim in 93. And then later Rav Yisrael Rosen, who recently passed away, who was the founder and the dean I think the dean is the word, but the head of Tzomet, he started saying, well, one second, what about all these newfangled razors, shavers? Lift and cut. Lift and cut's not so new anymore. If you think lift and cut's new, then you haven't been shaving for a long time. But lift and cut is, what about that? Does that do something different? So Rav Rosen did intensive research. He videoed shavers. He took them apart, he slowed the videos down 1,000 times, he examined them, he took this bit out and then that bit out and looked at what they do and then drew diagrams and went to patent office. Unbelievable stuff. Okay, we'll see a little bit of that next week, which again goes to the issue of process of halacha and science. But when these machines came on the market, so that whole question came up. Before the machines, what could people do? Scissors, okay, a razor, which is clearly prohibited, notwithstanding what Shadal was doing before. Powder. So look at number 33. The Pischei Tshuva in 19th century Lithuania says the following. Habet Hillel asul lefasfes be'even mesir haser. You're not allowed to rub your face with a stone that takes off hair. Because of the dafke be'evin asur, and that's only with a stone is prohibited. She'ali de chidudo, because the stone is sharp. Chotech hasar ka'ote she'korin pumice stein. Pumice stein. Okay? A pumice stone. Okay? So a pumice stone, if you wish to rub your face with a pumice stone. Again, if a man didn't want to have a beard, what choices did he have? If he uses scissors, you'll look like a mess. So he might rub his face with a stone. Can't do that. No good. Oh, interesting question. Why is that no good? Why is that worse than the plane? Because we said before that to rub your face with a plane was not the normal way of shaving. Maybe there were so many people shaving with pumice stones. I don't know. But that's a good question, I think. Aval b'meshicha. But with cream, hanase ke'ein tiach, like a kind of cement. Yeah? If you put that cream on your face, the hacharifut shebo, and the acidity or the strength of it, soref haseah, and that burns off the hair, and if you're not careful, it burns off your face as well. Mutar, that's fine. Why is that okay? Because nobody calls that shaving. That's fine. It's hashchata. It destroys the hairs, but it's not called gluach. That's not a normal definition of shaving. But if after you put the cream on, nish'atiach, there's some of the creams on your face, alpneihem, ein legararo b'sakin. You can't use a knife to scrape it off, because then you're back in with the razor blade action, and that doesn't help either. And in fact, people used to use this cream on their faces. This was really the only way that yeshivish guys could have a clean-shaven look. I don't know, when you look at all the pictures from the Mir Yeshiva in the like the 10s and 20s, they're all clean-shaven apart from the Rosh Yeshiva. How did they do it? I assume they used cream. That must be what they used, because there's no other way really to do it. The Chazon Ish was not powder.
Barium sulfide.
Do you have to wet it, or you have to wet it, and it makes a kind of face pack, or whatever. What's that? You paste. You make a paste. So the Chazon Ish was asked about this cream, and he said, "I didn't like it. We'll see if there's an Indian that you should have a beard generally according to Kabbalah." The Chazon Ish was reported to have said in Hebrew, it's called, the cream is called a sam. Okay, today we call it a mishcha, called also the sam. So he said, "It's not the sam hamavet." But it's not the Samachayim either. You know, it's not like the cream, it's not good, it's not bad, he didn't like it, but most people used it. But scissors was always an option, except, let's finish off with the Ramon and the Trumas HaDeshen. In number 34, Mikal Markham says the Ramon, Nizharim k'shemiskaprim b'misparayim sheyaseh hekif ha-giluach b'chelik ha-elyon min ha-misparot. There are some scissors that really what you're doing is with one of the blades. Now, you know how scissors work. Scissors are not usually very sharp, because when you have the action of both blades together, it doesn't have to be sharp. If you try and cut something with one blade of a pair of scissors, it usually doesn't get very far. It's much less sharp than a razor blade. But once he says you're already using one of the blades of the scissors, maybe you'll start using the bottom one and you'll use it as a razor. But under the throat, he says, you don't have to be so machmir. So even scissors, he says, is not so straightforward. And the last source I want to bring you today is the Trumas HaDeshen. It seems that we don't have any topic where the Trumas HaDeshen didn't have something fascinating to say. We've had so many tumors of the Trumas HaDeshen. To remind you, 1400s in Central Europe, he wrote his Shalis and Tshuvas, and he says in the 35, Tshuva number 295, Yesh nidnud isel isur. Is there any concern of a prohibition? Legaler pata zakam b'misparayim or lo? Is there any problem shaving with scissors or not? So what does he say? Tshuva. It's a short tshuva. This is the whole tshuva. Here the yesh makom lahachmir. I don't like scissors, he says. I think you should be careful with scissors. But I know that that's what people use. Now you get a little insight into how do people shave in the 15th century. They use scissors. So Bekasa Begilion HaTosfos, and he quotes a Tosfos that says basically what we saw before, if you use the upper, not the lower, etc., that could be a problem. In the third line, it's very careful with how to use scissors. You have to be very careful. Amnam Nira, I think he says, you shouldn't shave off your beard, not too sharp. If your scissors are, they shouldn't be too sharp. Then if the scissors are not so sharp, we're not worried that you'll start using one of the blades. That's only going to happen when it's very sharp. If it's not so sharp, then it won't work without the two blades together. Now why did I bring you this at the end? Because this is the segue into, well, what's going on inside an electric shaver? And I think this is a, even if you're not a regular user of electric shaver, this is an interesting question just in terms of process of halacha. And are there blades? Yes. Are they scissors? What are the differences? What about the ones with the round heads? What about the ones with the grill on the top? What about the lift and cut that apparently grabs the hair, pulls it up, and then cuts underneath? Would those things be sharp enough? First of all, are they scissors? Do they work like scissors? Second of all, if they are scissors, are they sharp enough to cut even on their own? Does that matter? How does that work? And you'll see that this has been a very big debate over the last 120 years. I remember going to Dan Lopian with different shavers in London, Dan Gershon Lopian, and asking him, what about this one, what about that one? And he had a whole thing on his arm. He used to go like this on his arm with a shaver, and he used to say yes or no. Often with Dan Lopian, he didn't exactly know where he was getting it from. He had these masseuras on different things. But this is a question that people have, and next week we're going to look at that and some other related technology issues, which will hopefully finish off this issue properly. So that we'll leave it for there, and we'll carry on next week. Ah, yes, yes, but that was before Matthew Perro.